He said, I'm glad as a father that you're with me in spirit and in truth. I rejoice along with the host of heaven for all that have come in. And rejoice in the hour that you spend with your heart in adoration towards me. But know this, that my heart is not full, for I'm waiting for the last, for the sheaves of this great field of harvest to come in, saith the Spirit of grace. And know this, that your loved ones are always on my heart. For you must understand that you have grossly underestimated your authority in me, saith the Spirit of grace. For if you knew with what great intent I listen, and if you knew with what great intent I employ things in action when you speak over your lost loved ones, then all the more with great diligence would you pursue me. So I say to you as a father, know this, I desire them more than you desire to see them here. So call upon me and speak their salvation and call them into this place. Call their minds and their spirits renewed. Call them free from the God of this world and from the blinders. And know this, I'll follow your words and I'll perform them to the ends of the earth, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah, Jesus. El Rosaria. Okalese, here, great rejoicing is coming. Great rejoicing. For many of you have led up because you thought they went too far and their case was turned over in some place where I could not reach them. But I say unto you, where sin abounds, my grace does much more abound. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Ooh, I think that's one to rejoice on.
Praise you, Jesus. I just wanted to say, Bronk, but the Holy Spirit wants you to know where worship is, God inhabits the praises of His people. Where worship is, the Lord is.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
And when He comes, He brings all that He is with
yes.
Him.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Bondages are broken. Hallelujah. Chains cannot stay.
That's yes, right. Jesus.
Thank you.
Sickness cannot stay.
Yes.
If you need deliverance from emotions this morning,
Jesus.
The Lord is here.
Yes.
And if you will worship Him, that's all you need to do.
Yes.
He's done everything else.
Yes.
And I bind in the name of Jesus
yes.
that lying devil that would tell you you are not worthy to worship.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Amen.
He is worthy.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Amen. That's why we worship.
Yes.
He
yes.
is worthy.
Yes. Yes.
If you would just let yourself go and worship
Hallelujah,
Him for who
Jesus.
He is. I don't care where you've been, what you've said, what you've done this week.
That's right.
He is worthy of worship.
That's right.
And if you will just lift your hands in worship, or however
Amen.
You worship.
Hallelujah.
He is here
Hallelujah,
to break
Jesus.
Bondages this
Hallelujah,
morning.
Jesus. Hallelujah.
He will take them and lift them off of you. He will take them if you'll give them to Him. If we'll worship. He's worthy of worship. He's done it all. Just yield yourself to Him. He's done every single bit of it. Don't think for a moment that any of it is on you.
Jesus.
It was all on Him.
Jesus.
And He will take it if you will give it to Him.
Well, let's go into part two of, and I didn't have this title last week, but I've coined it now because I felt this is the best way to say it. Protecting strongholds. Protecting strongholds. So you'll know what we're talking about in just a moment. And get a couple of my little devils up here to help me, because we'll go back into creating a citadel, a stronghold. But let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Hallelujah. I'm going to have to find this as I go along, but I believe that's where that I want to be. I'm sure. Okay. All right, we've already prayed, so we're ready to jump into this. And I hope you have your Bible. If you don't, then look on with somebody or just listen. Just listen and feel free. Everybody, I want everybody comfortable and happy listening to the Word of God. Now, Paul, really, I'm going to tell you this for all of you that are really staunch Bible studiers. When Paul is about to talk about the power of, he says here, for we walk not in the flesh, verse 3 of chapter 10, 2 Corinthians. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, I've got to be real. I try to be. Sometimes we'll preach the fruit because all we can do is preach the fruit. And we are going to preach a major fruit here. But I got to go right back to the ground foundation and tell you this. Is that if you'll read 2 Corinthians through, and if you'll read 1 Corinthians through, you'll understand that really, in the foundation of this, what Paul is actually talking about is his apostolic call and the gospel, which in turn speaks emphatically to all of you. And he was talking about the gospel, the power of the gospel has the power to pull down strongholds which are contrary to the message of the true gospel. In other words, if you go all the way to the root of it, what Paul was saying is, look, I can travel as an apostle preaching the word, and this goes down to the layman. I can go into India. I can go into all parts of Asia. I can go into all of the other parts of the world where they teach and preach other gods. And he said, the power of this gospel has the capacity to pull down those mindsets. The gospel is so powerful that you may have worshipped the sun god all of your life, or you may have worshipped Buddha or some Hindu god. You may have been instructed wrongfully by your parents all your life. You may have prayed to some other deity, or you may have believed that your salvation came through Mary, or you may have believed that, and Mary's a wonderful person, but she can't get you saved. You can't pray to Mary and get born again. You have to understand. Paul said, look, this gospel has the power to pull down all strongholds and make it conducive to Jesus Christ. Bring it under the ascendancy of Christ Jesus. Now, how that interprets out to you as an individual, as you're living out your life on planet Earth, it goes into a multitude of different ways. Now, let's read it, and I'll read all three verses, four or five verses maybe, three verses, and then we'll go back into where we were at last week. Try to reiterate a little bit and pass in review. Verse 3 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Meaning, we're walking around in a physical body, but our warfare is not out of the flesh. It's not out of the mind. It comes out of a spiritual place. For he says, the weapons, plural, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Meaning, they're not fleshly. But, and I like this part, they're mighty. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, when he says strongholds here, this is majorly important. I'm sure we're not going to be done this week. This is the second part of a series.
because I can see already in front of me how the Holy Spirit is going to take this for a little bit, because He's got to lay line on line again, precept on precept. But when He talks about strongholds, He defines what strongholds are. And He's talking here to Christians, and He's talking to people that have to understand not only how powerful this is to the sinner, but also the Holy Spirit wants you to understand how powerful it is to you as an individual. Because once you get born again, the righteousness of God comes to dwell in your spirit. That's who you are. You get to go to heaven. In other words, you get the ticket to ride. You get that salvation train's going into heaven. You got the ticket to ride. The only thing is, just one simple problem. Just because you get born again in your spirit doesn't mean that all of the strongholds are automatically driven out of the mind. That is a process that you've got 27 books of the New Testament that tell you, well, actually you got four, which were the gospel, and then you got one that's Acts of the Apostle, and then you've got the Apocalypse book, which is the book of Revelation. But all those others standing in between, they're letters to tell you how to grow up and get out of strongholds. They're letters to tell you how to change. They're letters to tell you how to get past every stronghold that you could possibly imagine. Now, I'm going to jump track here and tell you that the strongest stronghold that I know of presently, and until the Holy Spirit shows me the next one, because we're going to line up here again and we're going to talk about strongholds, and we're going to talk about why we've introduced this as protecting strongholds. But the greatest stronghold is this that I know of. It's the stronghold of, it's not immorality. It's not addictions. It's not even the greatest thing that we could walk in is love, because love brings about miracles. It brings about, it's just like what the Holy Spirit was prophesying through Deanne this morning. But the greatest stronghold I know of is indifference. Indifference. Indifference will set your mental and spiritual posture as if you're saying, I don't need that. Or, let's shovel that back to somebody else who does need it. Or, this is another teaching. This is just another teaching. I'm doing okay. Indifference keeps you always the same, never moving forward or never investigating inside of yourself what in me needs to change to go to the next level of God. As long as you're happy and saying, God, I'm just happy to have a happy home and a happy family and blessed, and you're my provider, and there's happiness and peace in my home, that's wonderful. But that's also a tremendous prelude to indifference. Because as long as it's just all right for you and your bunch, and there's not something inside of you that says, see, first of all, He wants to be your father. He does. He wants to be your father, and He wants you to know how much He loves you, and He wants to... See, this is the whole message of the gospel. 1 John said, we love Him. Why? Because He first loved us. He poured out that love first. So He wants you to know how much He loves you. But if you think it's that the salvation that you've come in is just so you can have a happy home and a happy bunch of kids and everybody healthy, and that's all your inheritance. That's you're supposed to. But the next level in His agape is to take it to the next place where you become, as Paul said, Paul, the servant of the Lord, which that word is slave, meaning this. I realize I'm blessed, but I'm not just blessed so I can sit fat and happy and thank God for His provisions and my family saved and thank God for this. That is not the end of all things. The end of all things is going into the next level and saying, Jesus, pour out my life like an offering to You. God, why am I making money? Is it so we can be blessed and we can put away in a retirement so we can have, so I can take my kids here and I can do this? God, if indifference keeps you in that place where you do not ever realize, wait, there's a cause There's a cause way beyond what I'm living for. And I lay it awake at night and say, God, how can I make more so that some soul can be saved? If indifference keeps you in a melancholy place where you're not, there's not something that's searching, grinding, aggravating in a good way. If something's not grinding on you, not tormenting, but grinding on you to say, where's change? I can't be this way all of my life. Because the happiest you'll ever be is when you're in the process of change. The happiest you'll ever be is when God is dealing with your life. And if you think He ever lets up, you're wrong. If you think that there's a fat and sassy day and everything is, as soon as you get comfortable, God will say, good, I'm glad you're here. Now let's go to the next level. Let's go to the next level. Are you happy, son? Yeah, I'm happy, Dad. I'm happy. I'm so thankful you brought me here. I got peace. I know everything's going to work out. It is. And I brought you here so I can begin to aggravate you and tell you there's a place that you've not yet seen in me. Go there. Hallelujah to God. We need to put our... Well, let me read the verse. It says this. Weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What are strongholds? Well, He defines that. He was kind enough in the next verse, so you didn't have to go to a Greek concordance, to define what strongholds are. Casting down, this is the definition of strongholds. Casting down imaginations, images. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Now, what is the knowledge of God? What I say? No. I'm not that smart. Don't take me as the... This is the knowledge of God. This is your inheritance. If this word says you don't have to be sick, you don't have to be sick. Now, here's the deal. You can talk about whether or not it's God's will to heal or not to heal all you want to. And you can preach and you can say, well, it must have been God's will for that person to go that way. Now, here's the deal. If you can find, if this is it, if you can find one place, I mean just one place, where Jesus did not heal them all, then I'll change and I'll believe you and I'll go with you and we'll say it's a sometime doctrine. He rose everybody from the dead that He ever prayed for. Everybody that ever prayed for, you'll say, well, Pastor, why isn't it happening for us? Look, that's why we're teaching this gospel. We're saying we're not there yet, and He's not mad at us because we're not there yet, but we can't give excuse to it. We have to believe it is His will for everybody to get healed and live out a long age, live in and watch their grandsons grow up, their grandkids grow up, and give them a godly heritage. It's not His will for people to die of cancer. They don't go to hell because they die of cancer. It's just not His will. He provided Jesus Christ for that. Hallelujah to God. And this is what He says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing, this is you and I, we must bring every, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now what He describes here is this, strongholds are thoughts empowered by emotions. In other words, when certain things that are a part of your unrenewed mind, and we're all in a process of renewing our mind, when those things come up, when those things are part where the enemy tries to breathe on those, the emotions that come along with that empower it to be what the Word says here is stronghold. You guys move this and you guys come up here. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm having a good time. Strongholds. Stand to the side for a moment there, devil. They know this from last week. The word strongholds is the word citadel. It means a castle. It means a fortress. That is an evident token of what Paul is saying is this. Strongholds are things that have been built in your mind or in your emotions that must be pulled down by the power of the Holy Spirit, by no other means. It can't be by fleshly means. In other words, you can't psychologically get it out of there. Sometimes it helps to talk to a person. But he says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty. Well, what are they mighty for? They're mighty to the pulling down. In other words, to pull down every stronghold that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Well, what is the knowledge of God? Well, we could go through all kinds of scripture this morning. And we could tell you that the knowledge of God is that you should have a happy home. You should have a good marriage. There's promises on that. There's promises on your body being healed. There's promises on in 2011, even with a supposedly what the world says a bad economy, of you prospering. There's promises of you having peace. Peace. The peace of God which passes all understanding. I love that. Because the peace of God that passes all understanding tells you this. Peace is stronger than understanding. If it passes understanding, means this. It means it goes. It's a higher. The peace of God is higher than understanding. In other words, you may understand something with your mind and say, well, I should be tormented by this. And yet if you have the capacity and learn how to do this, then the peace of God will actually come in and you'll walk around saying, you know, I feel dumb. I don't know what's wrong with me. I mean, I don't know why that I feel so good. I feel good and I shouldn't feel good. I mean, we hadn't had a paycheck in 3 months, or we haven't done this, or this didn't happen, or that didn't happen, and the kids look like they're going to hell in a handbasket and everything. But man, people are accusing me like, what's that guy on? Is he on some Narvacet or what? I mean, what's going on? I mean, what's going on? Peace that passes understanding. In fact, the more the heat turns up in the world, if you learn this process, the stronger it gets over here in the peace. But if you try to attack it and fight it with your own mind, then it just gets worse. And you just go along with it. Well, Paul said this. This citadel, you're coming up to a citadel which is built. It's built. And it's built brick by brick. Now, the Word of God says this. It has the capacity, the weapons that we have, it has the capacity to destroy this citadel. And this citadel, this castle, can you imagine this? I mean, if you've ever seen a scary movie and you're looking at this big castle, it's dim, it's dreary, it's ugly, it's got a big moat around it, and it's got high walls. And it looks impenetrable. It looks like you can't get in there. But according to Paul, this stronghold are thoughts and imaginations that have built this stronghold. In other words, the fight is within you. A lot of times people are wanting to cast out devils. You know, I've seen preachers that just believe everything's a devil. And they want to cast it out. Listen, the biggest thing that you've got to understand is the devil is no match for Jesus Christ and the Word of God. The only thing that empowers him is your agreement with him. You have to make some kind of agreement with him. And let me just discuss that. I didn't mean to expose all you guys out in the front row here, but here's the deal. Here is, okay, I can't remember how we did this last week, but you guys can kind of help me. Okay, let's say, here is from birth. Maybe this is a young lady. Molestation. Hard, bad things. Uncle, or this, that, and the other. I won't go in too far. I won't embarrass. This is hard, hard, tough things, emotional things that have scarred so deep that they can't talk to anybody about it. They can't talk to husband. They can't talk to wife. They can't. It's just deep. It's there. It builds a stronghold in the mind, and we're going to talk about where that goes at salvation. But it builds that stronghold. But the thing that it begins to build past salvation is it begins to build an excuse. It builds an excuse. This is terrible abuse. Let's call this one abuse. These guys are devils. They're helping out here. Don't steal a chair from anybody that's sitting in one, okay? Because we like our guests. This one here, let's just say, this is an agreement in your thought process of hard times. Okay, this is hard times. This is okay. Let's say you've got a habit, and you listen, you read too much paper, or you listen too much, and you talk too much. God bless you. That's all of us have that problem. And you're listening too much to the news, and after a while, you get to believe in what they say. You know, the best thing to do is just like I said last week. You know, doctor, if I push here, it hurts. Well, then don't push there. Just stop it. If it bothers you, or if you begin to agree with it, then stop doing it. Stop listening to it. Because the world's got an evil report. Well, that's reality. No, that is fact, but His Word is truth. And truth always trumps fact. And you've got to know that. You've got to know that truth trumps fact. Always, if you don't, you'll say, woo, we're in 2011, bad recession. It's going to dip. It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. Well, you say, well, what does that, you know, have to do? It has everything to do, because the fact of the matter is, the more you repeat it, the more you believe it. The more you say it, the more you concentrate. You'll say, well, I can't get a job right now because everybody's out of work. Wait a minute. In the Old Testament, the Israelites were in awe to the Egyptians because they spoiled Egypt, because in the worst of worst times, they prospered. Now, I'm not talking about when they left. In the land of Goshen, which the Israelites lived in, there was a land of Goshen which Joseph got for his brethren because it was the fattest land there. Okay, that's 430 years before their exile. That he saw, man, the pastures are better. And it says the pastures were better there. Everything was better there. When all the plagues started coming, when those 10 plagues come, it did not touch the land of Goshen. It did not touch them. All of those plagues, all those lice and grasshoppers and blah, 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 all that did not touch Goshen. It's like, and there's no walls up there. And these guys are looking, well, one thing that made the Egyptians hate the Israelites is, we're dying of starvation in our own land, and you guys are over there, your cattle are getting fat, your crops haven't spoiled. What is this? And God is saying this. Now, this is the New Testament example. I will draw a line to anybody that believes that my word is true above every other report. And the stronghold is this. You can say, okay, we can believe this report, or we can believe, you know, the report of the Lord. I don't know. Let's say this one is hurts. That's abuse. This one is, you know, divorces. She left you. He left you. You didn't see it coming. They left you for somebody else. Hurt. This is pastors doing other, you know, sheep wrong. I can't ever trust anybody again. They were my best friend. There was a pastor. That's deep hurts. But it becomes strongholds when you believe that they're stronger than the blood of Jesus. Now, we'll take a quick intermission from that to say this. Last week we said this. Once you were without Christ, when you did not have Him, and you did not have Christ working in your life, you were dead without Christ. In other words, the parts on the inside of you that crank out the power of God to change, that gave you the place of excuse. In fact, Romans chapter 6 says this. Sin... And it's not just talking about sin per se, like I'm going to the bar, get drunk, and, you know, have a fight, run off with another woman. It's not that. It's saying sin, the perpetuation of sin, a continual cranking out of sin, will not have dominion over you because you've been changed. You're no longer under the law, but you're under grace. In other words, once something happened and you got born again, then there is no more excuses. There's no more excuses by which you can say, I couldn't do this. I couldn't help it. I don't know why. I couldn't do it. The Bible says sin shall not have dominion over you. And what that really is talking about, if we had that time to teach it all out, is saying, look, Satan and sin, the grip of sin, or the appetite of sin, cannot any longer come along, grab you, body slam you, boom, and you wake up and say, wow, what happened to me? Now, the world sees a melancholy, milquetoast gospel, and they don't think the power that we have to live above sin is there. It's just that we're not doing the things that perpetuate the strength. When it said sin shall not have dominion over you, and believe me, we're going to get back to this, but you must understand this. There's a no excuse, and this is the part you have to understand. There's a no excuse understanding when you understand, wow, Jesus Christ not only saved me for heaven, but He saved me so that I can live above sin. Now, the Bible says if any man does sin, we have an advocate with the Father. If we slip and fall, we can get under the blood. And aren't you glad? How many of us are glad for that? But to believe that we have to sin because we're in this body, God wants us to know, look, you say, well, I don't know. I don't know why it happened. Well, it's a process. It's a process. You probably shouldn't have been there. You probably should have went home. You probably shouldn't have been there at that time in the morning. You probably shouldn't have been listening to Marvin Gaye. Let's stay together. It's a process. And then when you wake up and you say, oh my God, how did I slip? It's a process. But the Bible says sin shall not have dominion over you. In other words, if you're doing Joseph, the dreamer, is one of my favorite characters. Joseph, he's the guy, when Potiphar, he goes into Potiphar, he's a good example. He goes into Potiphar's wife 3 or 4 times. She's trying to say to him, look, Potiphar's gone. You can have me. Let's get together. He kept resisting her. He goes in. He was put over all of his house. He goes in to do bookwork. He is the steward of all this millionaire's house. And he goes in, and the Bible says she grabbed him and said, let's be together. The man takes off. I mean, he jumps in his four-wheel drive and poof, he's out of there. Sometimes the best part of resisting sin is to run. Run. Well, I've got power on the inside of me to resist it. Homer was telling me something. I was laughing. He was saying, he's listening to this, I can't remember all of it, but he was listening to this radio thing, and he was talking about these people were calling in. They were saying, well, I have arrived in Christ to the point, and I've gotten so close to the Lord that I can watch those kind of things. And, we can watch those kind of, we can watch restricted movies where there's a lot of nudity. And my husband, he says it don't bother him because he's just gotten so close to God. Let me be real nice. He is a liar. Couple things. Maybe he's not a liar. Maybe he's just dead. Check his pulse. Or that boy's got a bad hormone problem. And they got drugs to help him out. Because he's lying. You don't ever get that close to God. The best thing to do is put that four-wheel drive in fast and get out of there. Don't ease into it. I mean, leave now. But that's the power. The power of staying in Christ is, he says, sin shall not have dominion over you. And you have to understand that that goes into every area of your life. When you eliminate excuses, see, there's more to be built here. But when I'm talking about protecting strongholds, this is where I believe the Holy Spirit wants you to understand. It's not the strongholds. It's not the abuse. This is terrible. It's not, the money situation. It's not, the spouse leaving you or the pastor doing you wrong or other things that we can put on there and can in a few moments. It's when you begin to believe that there's an excuse for it. In other words, that happens immediately. That happens so fast that before you understand it, in fact, you're in a subliminal kind of stronghold. This is why I love what Pastor Dave used to say. He said, the reason why most people can't get rid of the devil is they're standing in a stronghold that he put them in, rebuking him out of it, trying to get him to leave while all these thought processes are still working in them. See, he can't, the devil won't leave when he's got an investment in you. He can't leave because you believe what he says. And you believe that the pain that somebody did you wrong, somebody did me wrong, song, you know, that I can't get rid of that. I just can't get rid of it. Listen, you can get rid of it because sin shall not have dominion over you. I remember Pastor Dave, one of the things that he said a long time ago that really set me free. He said he was going from the Maybe Center. And there was a certain preacher there, and that guy packed it out. And this is years ago. He said, man, there was, you know, they had to have, you know, cops there. They were just directing. There was thousands going in there, and he drove by there. He knew who was in there. And he said, man, he was going home, and he said he was getting over like the 71st bridge, and he said inside of himself, his lip was touching the floorboard. He said, if I'd have touched the brake, I'd probably run over my lip. Figuratively, he's talking about. He was pouting. He was kind of angry with God. He was like, God, why is that guy? You know? And then he thought to himself, and it's amazing how the Holy Spirit will have conversations with you. He thought to himself, you know, that guy got an early start when he was a kid. That guy got an early start when he was a kid. And if I would have got the start he got, I could be packing out thousands of people today. He said he had no more thought that than a vision. He had a literal vision. And he was like, wow, what is that? He saw himself as like a 16, 17-year-old boy sitting in a pastor's home, front room, in an easy boy-like chair. And he saw what he saw, and he was like, what is that? And he got it again, and he realized what he was seeing. The Lord took him back like 30 or 40 years because he thought, man, I started my ministry when I was like close to 40. And he goes, if I'd have had this guy's ministry from the time I was a young man, I could be where he's at. He goes back, and he realizes, wait a minute, what vision did I just see? God took him back to a vision, and he saw himself. He said back when he was running the girls and he was running after Rosalie, he visited. You know, he said he was running around with his pastor's son, and he said he went into the church that night and he heard the gospel. Well, he didn't know it, but the pastor's son was, you know, cold case. I mean, he'd heard the gospel. He's still drinking, drugging, and doing whatever he's doing. So he leaves. Dave hears the gospel, and as this, you know, 16, 17-year-old, he gets under conviction. And he goes back after service, bangs on the door, and he comes in and he's, you know, I don't know. And the preacher's smart enough. He says, son, sit down. You're under conviction because what you want to do is get saved. And he goes, yeah. And so he got saved right there that night in that guy's front room, in that living room. He got born again. He said he walked out of there. He said it stayed on him for weeks. He could feel that cleansing. He could feel that joy. He could feel that happiness. He later went right back to the same old crowd, started running around, got back in the world, joined the Navy, went around, did whatever he did. And the Lord took him back to that place. And the Lord said, son, that night, I gave you a new nature. You got born again that night. That's when you first got born again. He said, that young man or that man that you're talking about, when he got born again, he kept on with what he had until he took it to the next level. He said, look here, there's no excuse. There's no excuse. If I could do it for one. See, there is no glitches in there. There is no, you know, the X and Y chromosomes don't get messed up in the new nature. Everybody gets the same new nature. In other words, you're empowered from the get-go. If I or you or anybody could ever step past sin and say no to it, then we could all say no to it. Well, he really got saved. If you're saved, you all got the same empowerment at the same time. And what the Holy Spirit said, remember that night? And he goes, oh my God, that's when I got born again. I forgot all about it. I forgot. Later he renewed his salvation when he got come back to the Lord from a backslidden life. But the Lord said, if I could do it for him, I could have done it for you. No excuses. No excuses. And he said, well, God, but they didn't come after me and I didn't get filled with the Holy Spirit. He said, look, if I could do it for that man that you're seeing that's packing out the Mabry Center because he just followed me by a new nature, I could do it for you. There's no excuses, son. You can offer no excuse. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we understand this, and I say all that to say this. When we're dealing with strongholds, the first thing to understand is, okay, put one over there. That's Mr. Anger. Woo! Mr. Throw a Fit. I'll just tear the whole house up and prove myself. How about that? I'll get everybody in the house. Watch it. Oh, watch that. Slam that thing up against the wall. You will be obedient because I'm the Mac Daddy. Well, what? God bless you. That must have happened. You must have been trained that way, or somebody did you wrong, or you got beat a whole lot. But look, here's the thing. Once you step over into the new nature, you're empowered to go past all that because the Bible says any man be in Christ, he has become a new creature. Old things are passed away. You have to excuse it and say, but that's the way that I was taught. You have to give some. And where that excuse takes place sometimes is when the pastor is stepping down off the stage and says, we're going to talk about, and before your excuses for strongholds are quicker. There's nothing quicker than that. Not my words. There's nothing faster that can set up a fortress except the Holy Ghost. Because before I can say, there's no excuse for anger. There's no excuse for infidelity. There's no excuse for abuse. There's no excuse for believing a lie about your body. But yes, put that one over there, devil. This one right here says, I'm over 50 and it's got to start happening. Got to die of something somewhere. Wait a minute. The Bible, look, again, there's no condemnation. You go to heaven however you want to. But if you begin to believe, if you begin to believe diabetes, sickness, old age is going to happen to me anyway because I'm getting older. If you believe that, see, the Bible says, now that wasn't back in Noah's day. It was in the switch. Now, I can't teach on the switch, but the switch is what we live in now. The Bible says Moses was 120 and his eye was not dim, nor his natural strength abated. Meaning, Moses could pick up and walk away with at 120 what he could with was when he was 30 years old. It said his strength did not slip away from him. He believed it. I can't tell you. I've told you before, and you think, well, he's just bragging because he runs. I'll tell you what. If you just go out with me sometimes, there's a 5K Monday morning, 4th, tomorrow. There will be so many 75-year-olds that will beat me because they forgot that they're old. They forgot somebody didn't tell them. Somebody didn't tell them. I'm getting, how old are you, sir? I'm 78. Somebody should have told you you're 78 because you have made me look bad. Are you saved? No, I'm not saved because some of them cussing real bad at 78 and they just come in there. I'm thinking, my God, if you can do that without a new nature, what can you do with a new nature? Somebody forgot to tell them they're old. Well, I'm 50 now and I'm 60 now. See, you can be old at whatever age you are and you can believe. Excuses. Well, with somebody then, you got to learn that song. Everybody had to stay home just to blow that poor kid's nose. Well, see, here's the thing about sickness. Since I'm rambling, let me ramble real good. If you're sick, I mean, everybody gets, has a rough time. But if you perpetually, this thing hits you every Saturday night or every Sunday morning. If you're sick on Sunday morning, be honest and be sick all day. What? Because about 1 o'clock, must have had some gas. I don't know what it was kept me. Let's all us kids load up and go down to the, get us a pizza or something, or ride to the beach. Or, no, if you're sick, be sick all day. Mama wouldn't let me play outside when I missed school. I was sick. You're sick. You're going to be sick all day. Well, Pastor, isn't that going against faith? I might have got healed after 2 o'clock. Why couldn't you got healed at 9:30 and come to church? No, I'll tell you what. If you're really sick, prove it to yourself and take all condemnation off and don't go to work the next day. In other words, if you can get up at 10 o'clock, if you say, I got a business appointment at 10 o'clock, but I'm burning up, but I can't miss this business appointment. So, Father, I believe you're going to help me. You're going to give me grace. I call myself whole. If you can do that for a business appointment, how much more should you be able to do it? Oh, you're putting us under condemnation now. I'm just preaching real good. That's all. Excuses. But usually excuses run so fast that you'll say, look, before I can even get out my next point, and I'm not saying you are, but I'm saying this is how fast they can run. Before I can get out my next point, you're already given a reason. That's good. I bless his darling heart. I love him. He's trying to encourage us this morning. He just don't know what I've gone through. And excuses, in that sense of the word, are a protector against these guys. Now, next week we're going to go into the mirror. I think we're going to go into the mirror because I've got to show you methodically. We can't just talk about how the Holy Spirit delivers you. We've got to show you like under a microscope how that He takes, how He literally, line on line, takes away all of these strongholds. But the first place that you've got to understand is the first strongholds are strongholds. In other words, they hurt. They feel bad. They cripple you. But what gives strongholds their right to stay is an agreement. Like you logically agree that it's 2011. Or you logically agree that this is an inheritance. My mama had this infirmity, so I know it's just natural for me to have it. You have to have that agreement. I'm hurt from the past. And they don't know, you know, they should have never done that to me. My partner, you know, he should have never stabbed me in the back. So I'm hurt and I can't get rid of it. As long as you give that an excuse, you've built a barrier that nobody can come in. The Word can't come in and start tearing down these strongholds. But when you understand that sin shall not have dominion over you, this is what you got to say. Now, I don't like this part. I really don't like this part. I'll be honest. But it has set me free more times than I can. When I have blown it, for whatever reason, like if I was, you know, not nice to her, when I've blown it or something, whatever, you can stew and say, well, that shouldn't have happened, and that shouldn't have happened, and that should. That's excusing it. It will stay as long as you excuse it. When you do this, step around it, square your shoulders up and say, okay, I'm not going to carry the weight of this condemnation. Father, you forgive me. But I want to, just in case the devil thinks that he's getting one over on me, I'm going to square my shoulders strong and square, stick my chest out and say, look, you did not have the power, Satan, to make me do this. I want you to know that I understand that I had to agree with you and give up part of my right to be free for you to come. And when you do that, boy, there's a freedom that comes with that. Not a condemnation. There's a freedom that takes ownership of your own life and says, I'm going to walk as free as I want to walk. I'm going to walk in the dominion of the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to walk where power is at, because Satan can not come in and levy on me anytime. Now, he can come with pressures, but he's got to understand this. God's in charge, and because God's in charge, I'm seated with Him in heavenly places. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah. I am going to thank you, Jesus. I'm going to ask you to just open up your heart and listen to God. There's a grace on this place to receive all the monies that we need for revival. Thank you, Deanne. Would anybody agree with Deanne? Thank you, Gay. Can I? Yes. Hallelujah. I'm believing God right now. And would you believe God with me for a supernatural offering? Father, I thank you. Your grace is sufficient. And you're causing us to go from glory to glory, from power to power, changing us. And Father, I thank you that you love them so much that you're setting us free in every area of our life, causing us to go to that place where we're so free. Speak to our hearts. And I'm speaking this to you as I'm praying. There's two ways in the New Testament. One, if you hear the Lord say a specific amount, then give that. Otherwise, just give. The Word says, as a man purposes in his own heart. So, whatever you feel like you should give. If you don't hear the amount, then just give the amount that you feel like that would be the part I would love to give. So, Father, we receive this morning. We receive by your grace. Touch our hearts. And we call Immokalee in revival. And all the monies necessary for this revival. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.